If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. We've been talking about what faith says, and last week we started talking about fear, and we're going to look at that again this morning, but it's not the fear of heights and, you know, different things like that, but we're talking about the fear of stepping out in faith and walking by faith, and there's reasons that we're fearful, and one of the main reasons that we're fearful is because we just don't know. You know, God just kind of does that. He asks you to walk by faith, and to walk by faith, then you have to walk without understanding. You have to walk without knowing. And that's fearful for some of us because we like to know. We want to be in on the know. And, you know, God just seems to, I'll tell you what you need to know. If you don't need to know it, just trust me. You know, that's just kind of his philosophy. And so we have to adapt to that mindset. Now, part of the struggle is we don't know what tomorrow holds. And so we're trying to figure out that. But then fear that grips us because we don't know is we also don't know what or how others are thinking about us. And so that causes us to be timid as to whether we're going to step out in faith or not, because some of the reasons that we don't step out in faith is not because of we don't trust God, because we're afraid of what others are going to think of us when we do that. And so that's a very difficult thing for us. But this morning I want to talk about something else related to fear and why we walk in fear, and that is the pain of this world. There's a lot of things that have happened to us that cause us to be fearful and cause us to be hesitant to step out in faith. And by pain, I'm talking about the negative things that have come to us from this world, from you being born into a dysfunctional family. Anybody experience any pain from that? You know, and then maybe you didn't even have a family or, you know, whatever your circumstances are. The negative stuff that life throws at us, that's the pain that I'm talking about. And if we don't handle that right, then we become fearful. And dysfunction causes pain in our lives. And so because we all come from dysfunctional families, we all have pain. And we want to figure out how to escape from all that pain. We're looking for a better way, an escape, an answer for our pain, our insecurities, and our uncertainties of life that we all face. Because with that dysfunction and with all the pain, then there's uncertainty and insecurities begin to develop in us. And so then we begin to protect ourselves and we begin to shut down and we begin to walk in fear because we think, well, if it happened then, it'll happen again. And so we close our heart down. And so part of our escape from the pain is to walk in fear. And by that, this is what I'm talking about. If we walk in fear, then we have something that we can fall back on. And that enables us to ignore the pain. It enables us to hide from whatever is causing that pain. Whatever is wreaking havoc on us. We all do this, but I'm trying to figure out if Christians do this more. And I think perhaps we do it more because we know the answer, but we just don't always get to it. But I think we walk in so much denial that we stay in that fear, so that we can stay in the denial so we don't have to face the truth. And if we pretend and deny long enough, we think it's going to go away, but what we find out is it doesn't go away. The pain is still there. It's still real. We think that it's much easier to walk in fear and deny what our real problem is than to address that fear head on and address whatever's bothering us and the pain, the source of that pain, the reason for our insecurities and our struggles. Because we want to appear as having it all together. Because we think if we appear to have it all together, then we're going to be able to fit in. And we're always wanting to fit in. We don't want anybody to know about our pain and our struggle and our doubts, our insecurities. We don't want that. And so we try to make ourselves look good and make ourselves look good to those around us. And the reality is we all have pain. We all have doubts. Does anybody have doubt in here besides me? You know, it's amazing to me that we think that if we're believers in Jesus and we give ourselves to him, that we can't ever have doubt again. I don't know where that comes from. I haven't met anybody that I've read in the Bible that didn't have some kind of doubt. So I'm giving you the freedom to doubt this morning. But just don't stay there. All right? In your doubt, go get the answers as well. We're all in the same boat, so to speak, concerning dysfunctionalism. We've all experienced it, so we all suffer the pain of that dysfunction. And that is what we have to learn to overcome. And we're not going to overcome it by walking in fear. We have to come to reality with that. And one of the great news that we can share, and I said good news, I have it in my notes, it's good news, but it's really great news, is that Jesus is the equalizer in all of this. That no matter what our dysfunction is, no matter what the pain is that we have had to deal with because of the dysfunction that we come from and the fear that we can walk in to kind of hide the pain, Jesus is the true equalizer. With all of our issues and all of our insecurities and struggles and doubts, we all need him. And so everything that we've experienced is to lead us to Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 13, we looked at this last week. We started this last week, and I want to encourage you, if you didn't hear last week's, go and listen to it on the podcast, and we're going to continue this next week, which actually I planned on doing it this week, a different thing, but you know, I gave you some scriptures that we used with our kids and what we did with our kids to teach them that there's a different way, there's a better way, there's a higher way. We don't have to be limited to the things of this world. And in our fear, because of the pain, we're looking for a way out. We're looking for an escape. And so we have to teach our children how to find that in God, in his word. And, you know, I went into some detail last week, and we'll look at it again next week. But here's one of the scriptures that we looked at, Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. In 5, he says this, "Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And so that's a good saying in and of itself. So he's saying that, you know what, you need to learn to be content with whatever's going on in your life because of this. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that's God's letting us know. He's never going to leave us and he's never going to forsake us. So we taught our children, you know what, no matter what you're going through, there's one thing that you can count on, that God is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. That you will make it through whatever you're facing right now. But then in verse 6, he says this, "So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear." But see, if you don't know that he's never going to leave you or forsake you, then you can't confidently say that the Lord is here and he is your helper. "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" And it's the last part this week that I want to share with, because what can man do to me? You know what? Man could do a lot of things to you. Man could say a lot of bad things about you. Man can think a lot of bad things. But he's saying, you know what? We don't have to be subject to that. We can rise above that. The world throws at us enough stuff. And that's why it's important that as parents, you speak life to your children. You speak the word of God to your children. Do it when they're young so that when they grow up and they begin facing the bigger trials, they begin to see that, you know what, there's a different way. There's a better way. If you'll turn with me to Gospel of John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. We are all looking, searching for answers, searching for something different, searching for a better way. We all long for the answer, and it's right before us, and his name is Jesus. But here's the problem. Here's what I found out about the world, people in general, whether you're a believer or not. Here's what I find out. It's so simple that we can miss him. We say that, you know, if you'll come to Jesus. But do you know how hard that is for some people to come to Jesus? Because it's so simple, they miss it. And then when we come to church, we finally give ourselves to him. Then we go back to, we have to do things, and we miss him again. And so when I say it's so easy that we miss him, we are people who always want to fix things. We always want to have to or be able to do something. You know, you watch when people get elderly. One of the biggest struggles is they talk about the things that they can't do anymore. Okay, that's fine. Then let your family do them for you. Amen? That's why God places us within a family so that when you were came into this world and you couldn't do things for you, they took care of you. And when you're leaving this world and going to a better place and you still can't do all of those things now or what you used to do, it's okay because you have a family that can do it. But we're always trying to do something. We're always trying to fix something because we think we have to be the answer. And God's saying, would you just stop? And you know, just the song that we're singing. I can't even remember it. It's so good, though. What is it? No, Jesus, the one. I speak Jesus. And then all the things that Jesus is, if we would just come to him. You know, we always want to help him. We always want to fix things. Just stop. Just trust him. Trust him. It's the best thing that we can do. You know, it's like we have to let God know, hey, we appreciate the fact that you gave us Jesus, but we're going to help you too. And he's just like, you know, it's fine. Jesus did enough. His was good. I don't need your help anymore. You just trust me. Well, no. I would rather help you. I don't need your help. I just want you to trust me. And he would be the relief for the pain. Because when we start to get into God's word and we find out how God is, we find out that there's freedom in that. And in John chapter 8, starting in verse 31, Jesus is having a discussion with his disciples, but he's talking to some Jews who have believed, and they're struggling with what he's saying. But in John 8:31, this is what he said. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And so there's a qualifier there, if. He said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. So what's the truth about it? If you don't abide in his word, you're not his disciple. Isn't that amazing? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And now verse 32 says, and, everybody say and. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Couple things about this. If you don't abide in his word, you're not his disciple, and you won't know the truth, and you won't be free. So let's put it another way. The more truth you have, the more truth you allow into your life, the more truth you walk in, then the more freedom you will encounter. Let's put it another way. The less truth that you walk in, the less truth that you give yourself to, the more lies that you believe over the truth that you do know, the more bondage you will stay in. And, you know, it's amazing to me that in our pain, what we like to do is we'd like to turn to the world and we would like to find out from the world what it has to offer and how the world can answer and bring relief to our pain. And then we find out we begin to do those things and we get more messed up, we get more hurt, we get more confused because we're going to the world for answers that only God can provide. And all the world has to give us is lies. And yet we keep going back to that well, keep drinking from that well, and then we wonder why we're more hurt, we're more damaged, we're more confused, we're in more pain, rather than just turning to Jesus. We find out that when we turn to the world that our pain increases instead of decreases. And, you know, I can tell you this, when I was younger, and I had three older siblings, and they used to get in trouble. And I can remember laying in bed and hearing my dad just go off on them. And I would lay in bed, and I'm thinking to myself, do they know what caused this? If they would just not do what they just did, they wouldn't be in the pain that they're experiencing. And because I don't like pain, then I decided in my mind, I'm not going to do what they did. Now, to me, that was simple. If I wanted the wrath of my dad, I knew how to bring it down. I could go follow my brothers and sisters. So here he says that if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, here's the problem that we have with that. We want to be free right away as soon as we walk in truth. And God says, no, it'll set you free. There's a process that you're going to have to go through. Everybody say process. I know y'all like that word around here, don't you? There's a process that we're going to have to go to. And if we don't turn to God, then we're left only to turn to the world. And when we do that, then what do? We turn to drugs. We turn to money. We turn to inappropriate relationships. We look for the new thing that's going to help us. And as soon as we get the new thing, it's old. And then we have to find another new thing. So we're constantly looking. And I just want to encourage you to stop. Don't turn to the world anymore. Turn to God. Give yourself to Jesus. Turn to his word. Find out what his word has to say. And in order to do that, what we need to do is we need to learn how to confess. And confession really means to say what God says about you and about life. Okay? So we need to come into agreement with what God says. So we're all insecure, we're all in need of God, and so the answer is, come to Jesus. Find out what Jesus thinks about your life. And if you don't know, then go to Psalm 139 and put your name in there. Because he personally made each and every one of us. He knows everything about us. Now, here's how it works. To receive salvation, we have to agree with God. We confess him. We confess we need him. We confess that Jesus is the answer. When we confess it, then we're saved. We're born again, whatever you want to say. Okay, but confessing is agreeing with God. That's just part of the equation, though. Then we start walking in the word of God and in the truth of God's word, and we start confessing that over our lives. When we do that, we'll begin to escape from our fears because we're starting to believe God's word. We're finding his word, then we're starting to believe it for our lives. So if you don't study God's word, if you don't find his truth, then you're not going to overcome fear. You're not going to overcome anything in this world. We need to know the promises, and then we need to stand on the promises of God to face the fears that we have. Turn with me to John chapter 14, please. Here's what it comes down to. The only way to be free is to embrace the truth that God's word gives us. I tell of a story of somebody many years ago. Most of you don't even know who they are. And I had shared a message, and I was talking about knowing God's word and speaking God's word over our lives. And one of them came up to me out of this family and said, as much as you tell me that I need to study God's word, I'm not going to do it. So I just thought to myself, okay. Then when your life's a mess, and if you come to me, I didn't say this to him, but I'm thinking this, when your life becomes more of a mess and you come to me, I'm going to send you to the word of God. Now, I don't know how things are going in their life now, but I can tell you their whole family was wrecked. They were divorced and everything else. And I'm thinking to myself, that could have been prevented. It could have been prevented. There is no freedom from fear, from the fear that we walk in, from the pain that we walk in, apart from God's word. There is no freedom. We cannot be free until we face and embrace and welcome the truth of God's word. In John 14, 6, Jesus said this. John 14, 6. Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, now this is a truth. There's no way you can get around this. If you want to be saved, then you have to come through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other truth to get you to the Father. There is no other life that gets you to the Father. It's only through Jesus. And see, that's so simple that we as people, we think we got to help God. And rather than just give ourselves to the truth of that word, we have to help him and we got to begin to do things. He's like, no, just stop. John 17. You'll turn with me there. John 17. John 17, 17 says this. And this is in Jesus' prayer. They call it Jesus' priestly prayer. He's just finished talking about the Holy Spirit. Now he's praying, and here's part of it. John 17, 17. Sanctify them in truth. We can't be sanctified in lies. We can't be sanctified by the ways of the world. We're sanctified by truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Isn't that easy? So if you want to be sanctified, which means to be set apart, then you have to get into the word of God. Get into the truth of God's word. Verse 18 says, and he's praying, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. Set apart by truth. What truth? The truth of God's word. You want to have different outcome in your life? Find the truth that God's word says. Begin to confess it over your life. Begin to walk in it. Begin to agree with it. Turn with me to John chapter 14. Back to John chapter 14. And here's the awesome thing that God does for us. When we receive Christ, when we place our faith in him and receive salvation, God gives us the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit begins to have the freedom to lead us and guide us. And he's going to lead us and guide us into truth, into the truth of God's word. But how many of you know we don't have to listen to him? We don't have to obey the Holy Spirit. We can do our own thing. We can be saved and going on to heaven when we die and walk our own way. That's not a chance I want to take, but if you want to, have at it. John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. How long is he going to be with us? And how long is forever? Forever. All right. Verse 17. Even the spirit of lies. Even the spirit of the world. So, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he's the spirit of truth, and he's going to come, and he's going to begin to speak to us. He's going to begin to lead us and guide us in the truth. And then what did Jesus promise in John chapter 8? That when we walk in that truth, what will happen? We will become free people. There's no freedom without the truth of God's word. You can turn to the world and everything else, but I'm here to tell you, you're going to get more in bondage. You're going to get more confused. You're going to get more messed up. Just turn to the truth. In John chapter 16, John chapter 16, starting in verse 4, he says this. He's telling the disciple he's getting ready to leave. John 16:4. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So he's speaking of the necessity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And he's like, look, my work is going to be done. When it's done, the Holy Spirit's coming. And he's going to lead you into truth. He's the spirit of truth. And then go with me to verse 12, John 16:12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And that's okay. All right? We don't have to understand everything right now. When your kids are small, you don't tell them everything. You know, you tell them what they can understand. And that's what he's saying here. John 16:12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Why? Because God wants us to be free. And in order to be free, we have to know the truth. And so God's going to give us the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth, and he's going to lead us and guide us to truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Verse 14 says, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. What's he declaring? He's declaring the truth of God's word, the truth that is in the promises that are in there. The Holy Spirit will speak them to us. Verse 15 says, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And so Jesus is truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's going to lead us into truth. Why? Because God wants us to be free. Why do we keep fighting it? Why do we keep turning to other things, trying to be free when it's in Jesus? It's so simple that we try and make it complicated, and we try and find our freedom from lies of the world, and it's never going to happen. That's why God came, to give us Jesus. Let me read at it. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. verse 12. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites may not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. In other words, the glory that was on him, it was leaving him, and so he covered it up. Verse 14, but their minds were hardened, for to this day when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains uplifted, because only through Jesus, or through Christ, is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that if you want to be free, here's how you do it. Give yourself to Jesus. Give yourself to the truth. Walk in the truth of God's word. John chapter 6, please. Verse 63, John 6, 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. It's out there. It's for the taking, if we will just turn. Let me read verse 63 again. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. We're looking for freedom. We want freedom. We want peace. We want security. We want answers. You know, I open this with how I'm shared with how we're all looking for answers. We're looking for a different way. We're looking for an escape for the pain that we have from the dysfunction that this world is. We're looking for the answers for the fear and the pain of our lives. And it's really simple. It's found in Jesus. The freedom is found in him. We want to know. Part of the reason that we walk in fear is because we don't know. We don't know. And as I was going through this, I'm thinking, you know what? It's amazing to me that God says, there's one thing that you can know. There's one thing that you can be certain of. And I want to read it to you. It's found in John chapter 17. Jesus said this. But it's very simple. It's very easy. And it's so easy we can miss it. In John chapter 17, starting in verse 1, he says this, and again, this is the beginning of his high priest prayer for us. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is declaring what the Father has done for him, the truth. And he's like, look, eternal life is given to them. We want to be in the know. The more we're in the know, the better off we're going to be. We know the lies of the world, but it's our responsibility to know the truth of God's word. The more we know the truth of God's word, the more freedom we will experience. The less truth we have in our lives, the more bondage we will remain in. And we can know. We can know. This is John 17:3. We read 1 and 2. Here's 3. We're going to close with this. And this is eternal life, because he's talking about eternal. And he's defining eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You want to find it in other things, in other relationships, things of this world, the new things that they keep coming up with that we think are going to make us happy, that are going to fill that hole. It's not. Because as soon as you get it new, tomorrow it's old. And this is eternal life, that they know you. If you'll stand with me, please. We can know. We can know that we have eternal life. We don't have to question it. We can know. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Father, I thank you for this day and the love that you have for us. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of your word. And Father, you say that if we would abide in your word, that we will be your disciples, and we will know the truth, and that truth will cause us to be free. Father, I pray that you work within us, that we have a desire to be a free people through your word, through the truth of your word, through the truth of your promises of your word. May we stop trying to figure everything out according to the lies of this world and the ways of this world. You've offered us a different way, and Father, we choose to walk in that as your people. And Father, I thank you that as we walk into that truth, we will be free. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, go be free. Go be more free as you get more into his word.